And good morning and welcome this July 28th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. And before we go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer, just ask that you do continue to keep Wade and his family in your prayers. Sister Dottie, she passed away, and we're going to have a funeral service for her later on in this week. And so there's going to be people that are traveling from all across the country to go to that. And when I spoke with Wade this week, he did say that the prayers were definitely working, and just the amount of strength that he was able to have was he just knew that it was prayer. So we've asked people to continue to lift him up in prayer, ask that you continue to do so. Me and Richard are going to be conducting the funeral service. Do ask that you keep us in your prayers as well. And you know, as just want to thank you, those of you that are out there that do keep us and this ministry in your prayers. The efforts that we do here would not be possible if it wasn't for your tithes, contributions, and your prayers. And we do covet your prayers. We were, you know, able to get volume 8 of the newsletter out this week, Dragon Slayer newsletter. And that's a, you know, big task every month, but it's a really big task when you get 8 of them out in a year, and we were able to do it by the end of July. So that was definitely an answer to prayer. That was a goal that I set at the beginning of the year, to get one out once a month. And it's been hard and challenging, but the Lord has saw us through it. And do just, you know, want to, you know, ask for your prayers out there. Keep this church, this ministry, in your prayers. And we've got a lot of new people that are coming on board that are requesting newsletters and listening to the messages of Pastor Peters and Earl Jones and Jack Moore. And we're doing our best to try to get those out to the remnant. Let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. And Lord, we lift up your people all across this land. And we just ask, Father, that you just continue to raise up men and women of God, that they can turn from their wicked ways, that they can seek you in your face and your ways, as we know your ways are better than our ways. And Lord, we cry out and we ask for your assistance. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your direction. We pray, Father, that you give us more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, that you just be with us, Father, that you give us more of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that we can be obedient to you in your ways, that we can put away the cares of the world and seek your kingdom first. We pray, Father, for Wade and his family, and just ask, Father, that you be with those that are traveling to this funeral and pray that continued strength upon them. Pray for myself and for Richard, and ask, Father, that you just lead us, guide us, and direct us as we conduct this funeral service. We pray, Father, for your church and your ministry and your people that are scattered all over this country, all over the world. Lord, we lift them up to you, and we just pray, Father, that supernatural protection that comes from your throne upon them. We ask that you grant them peace and strength and encouragement. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, a couple different things. Yeah, we got the newsletter, was excited to get that shipped out. So that should be coming to you, arriving in the mail. And next we'll be working on the online newsletter version. So hopefully by the end of the week we'll have that in your email. Please do let us know when you get those newsletters in. Shoot me an email, jason@sfaw.org. Do appreciate hearing from you folks out there. It's a, you know, every one of these newsletters, it just comes together in its own unique, sort of way. And, this one is entitled, Firearms and Freedom, subtitled Gun Control Means People Control. And, it's got a little bit of everything in it. It's got, fantastic article in it from The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. It's got some really good, encouraging, letters that we received from the prison ministry and from part of the remnant that's out there that gathers with us through internet and through radio. So we're grateful for that, and we're thankful for that as well. Brother Zach, he's got a message today, don't waste God's time. And the song that he's going to play in this message is, and I talked to him about it again yesterday, and it's not about the singer or the band that plays the song, but it's about the words of the song. And I just wanted to reiterate that. It's a good, it's got good lyrics to the song. And he had me listen to it. And of course, you know, the music is, it's different, but the words are what he was trying to get across. And just want you to understand that. And as I listen to the words, it, you know, there's just a lot of truth in it. And, you know, as we talk about wasting God's time, how much, you know, how much of God's time do we actually waste? And that's something that I think people need to take a conscience effort on it. You know, it's sometimes, you know, you stop and think about things, and we know there's nothing too great nor too small for God to handle. But sometimes it's, I think people just need to toughen up too. And that's my opinion. I know everybody's got their struggles and their the trials that they're going through, but you know, I don't want to waste God's time, and I don't want you to either. And there's, you know, a lot of times we can take things that we should know how to handle, and we should know how to deal with it. And you know, people want God to deal with it, and you know, we've got perfectly capable people of dealing with a lot of these things. And I don't know, that was about all that I had. I do want to have a song. We're going to start off with a song, and then we'll have Brother Zach's message. But today we're going to have a song, "Today I Started Loving Him Again."
Was raised a godly Christian boy. The love of my Lord Jesus was my joy. Then the world led me astray and into sin. And that's when all my troubles did begin. What a fool I was to think I could get by with only these 10 million tears I cried. I should have known the worst was yet to come, and that crying time for me had just begun. Then I fell down from my pedestal to the ground, and I asked the Lord to turn my life around and to restore the love I once had for him. And today I started loving him again. Won't you start loving him? Today, won't you leave your road of sin and love him? Just love him again. Well, today my wife and I start loving again. We'll renew our commitment where it all began and live our lives together apart from sin. Today, we both start loving again. Yes, today I start loving him again. I'm right back where I should have always been. For I asked the Lord to change my heart, and I repented of my sin. And today I started loving him again. And today I started loving him again.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, July 28th, 2024, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there. We're glad that you joined us. And as usual, we will define who Jesus Christ is. And that is found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. He is the Old Testament, the story, the law, the prophet that became flesh. And he fulfilled the law, the marriage laws, and he fulfilled the prophets. And there were many prophets that longed to see the day that he showed up and were not able to. And then, as Jesus said, for those of you that believe in me, after he ascended into heaven, even how much more blessed are we. That we were able to figure out, crack the code, and know the greatest love story never told. And if you are interested in that book, you can contact the ministry and order that book. And it gives you, in a nutshell, the story of Israel and everything that we're talking about all the time. It gives you, it puts things into perspective as who you are as an Israelite, or whether you're not an Israelite, where you belong. So, the message today is titled, Do Not Waste God's Time. And I'm going to start out in Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read in verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, the reason why I chose that one was because you always hear me talk about the divorce and Israel and the relationship that we have is the way the Bible puts it in a lot of ways is a marital relationship, and we are the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. And as we defined here in John, that he is the Word that became flesh. So in order for us to be in line with the head, which is Christ, and we are the body, we need to know these things, which is the Old Testament and the story of Israel. and such things. And that is why we speak in the terms that we speak. So as I said earlier, the title of the message is Do Not Waste God's Time. And as I pointed out many times before, and as Pastor Peters has, Israel is the bride of Christ that was divorced, and Jesus released Israel from the law, so that way she may be joined to another, and hopefully that other would be Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh, and He gave us back our political system and our identity, so we choose to have it, if we choose to have it. But as we look around, we know things aren't as they should be because of the lack of knowledge that is in the Christian religion today. So I have a song for you. And it is an older song. And it is called Let Her Cry. And as you listen to this song, it's about 5 minutes long. I want you to think about this woman that's in this song and just identify her as Israel. And as many of you, this is more of a message for those that are in the know. And identify that woman, just think of her as Israel in this song, this person and this man putting up with this woman. Now, this woman in this song, she has a drug problem. She's addicted to alcohol. And it's just this man that's trying to come to terms with this woman that he loves that just will not get her act together. And I listened to this song a couple weeks ago as I was going for one of my walks. And I thought about it. And I said, you know, you can wonder if God thinks of that with us at times. So when we come back, I'm going to get into the scriptures, but pay attention to this song, listen to it, and I'll be back. And let's please have that song at this time.
She sits alone by a lamppost, trying to find a thought that's escaped her mind. She says, there's the one I love the most, but time's not far behind. Fly away and just sorrow, let her breathe.
Hope it makes you think, and as it says in there, you know, let her cry, let her sin, let her go. You know, you can sit there and look at history, and history repeats itself, and it goes over and over and over again. And we as Israelites, that multitude of nations, we have this bad habit of not being loyal to our God. As it says in the beginning of that song, he talks about the man as there's the one that I love the most. But when you look, when you think that you put it into context, there's other ones involved. And he's not her only. Her habits and the things that she's into create this stress in this man that he just doesn't know what to. Well, he does know. He has to let her go. And our God did in the Old Testament, and Jesus brought us back through his death, or released us through his death. And I want to talk about when we come back to him, our conduct. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now, Israel here, in this scenario, well, at this time, they were about to enter the promised land. They had been going around the desert for 40 years because of their bad habits and their eagerness to serve other gods. It cost them 40 years in the desert, and it was through disobedience, and now that generation had died off, and the new generation was coming in, and it's about a transfer of power from Moses to Joshua, and Joshua ended up leading Israel into the promised land. So the new covenant, the covenant had already been established. As we read here, God knows that the bad habits of his bride slash Israel is going to come back and wield its head. So we're going to start in verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting that I may commission him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. The Lord said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and these people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land. So what are they going to do? They're going to take on the characteristics of the people that were about to get thrown out, and they were going to adopt their gods as their gods, and they were going to take on their political system. Okay? So God has his political system. Baal has his own, or their own. There's three main ones. And so God, he's pretty much calling them out. This is the way it's going to go down. Okay? The Lord said to Moses, behold, you're about to lie down with your fathers, and these people will rise and play the harlot with strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going. They will forsake me and break my covenant, which I made with them. So he already knew that the covenant was going to get broke because history repeats itself. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and they will forsake, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them. So they will say in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? So they're going to recognize that they are wicked and evil, and the reason why things aren't going right is because they no longer have that blessing and that protection that God provides them through obedience of his commandments and statutes. That is why the veil, the protection, the troubles are the way they are, is because of disobedience. Okay? So what have they done? God sat there and he marched them around for 40 years to get it right, and then, you know, they're about ready to enter. God's saying the disobedience still exists. I continue. But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do. Okay, so this is a future tense. This is a prophecy because of what they will do. He knows it's coming. For they will turn to other gods. Now, therefore, write this song for yourself and teach it to the sons of Israel and put it on their lips so that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them into the land flowing of with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me to and break my covenant. So what is going to happen here? They're going to get fat and happy. They're going to obey for a time, and then God's going to prosper them because every action that they do, and if there's obedience, then as God says in Deuteronomy 28, I will bless everything that you put your hand to do. So they're going to be thinking that this is our doing and we don't need to obey God's law. This really isn't where we get our power from, and we're going to go and chill out with other gods, hang out with them, go to a different husband, okay? That is what they're going to do. This is what God's saying. So as those of you that are familiar with biblical history, you know that this actually happened, and God sent them off with a writ of divorce and abolished them or threw them out of the land. They ceased to exist as a country. And then from that point, they formed the multitude of nations, as was promised in Genesis 17, a flesh covenant. That's for those of you that aren't as fluent in biblical history. That's found in Genesis 17. Then it shall come about when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify before them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten from the lips of their descendants, for I know their intent, which they are developing today, before I have brought them into the land which I swore. So, he already knows that they don't have any intention on being obedient. Why is that? Because the children and the generations to come are the ones that do the paying. That is why. And with the lack of teaching, then that's the way it goes. Because no matter what they do, because of lack of knowledge, then it's a recipe for disaster. Verse 22. So Moses swore this, or wrote this song in the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. Verse 23. Then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and he said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." And it came about when Moses finished writing the song, writing the words of this law into the book until they were complete, that Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of which the Lord your God, that it may remain there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stubbornness. Behold, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more than after my death?" So Moses recognized that he was the watchdog. And so he recognized that Israel was stiff-necked and they weren't going to be able to hold it together because he's been dealing with Israelites for 40 years or more. And he's like, well, you know, just judging by their character, their sheep, which is not a compliment, they're going to fall into it. And they did. So let me continue. "Assemble to me all the elders, your tribe, your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call the heavens and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will act corruptly and turn from the way which I commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, for you will not do that which is evil in the sight of your Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of your hand." Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of the song until they were complete. And then it goes on in chapter 32, this song. So Moses understood that after his death, then they weren't going to be able to hold it together. And when you're prosperous, you get lazy, your guard goes down. You think that you've done it yourself and that you don't have to obey. And you set out that vibration and God has to respond. If you're obedient, he'll respond in a positive way. If you're disobedient, he'll respond in a negative way. And that is exactly what they did. They responded in a negative way, and God booted them out of the land. And they paid. Now, Jesus, enter Jesus. So you look at these covenants and these promises, and God promised that he would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. That's in Jeremiah. And the way he did that was he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, the husband, which is God himself, in flesh form. And he ended up dying on the cross, was buried, and was raised again. And he released Israel from that law, that marriage law. Because when a husband dies, even though she might be with somebody else, she is released from that law, that marriage law. And that's what took place in that death. That's one of the things. It also released the land over there in the Middle East from the maledictory oath. That's another thing that that death accomplished. So the notion that that land belongs to Israel of old is insanity, because people don't know the word. That is Jesus Christ's identity. Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, I mean, that's up to you. But it is what it is. And you can sit there and pull up every scripture in Exodus and Deuteronomy that that land will be theirs forever. But it was under a condition that Israel had to obey. And God threw them out. And with that oath took attached to it. So a death was required to release that land, and it occurred. So all the Judeo-Christians out there, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I can prove it. This ministry can prove it. I don't care what you guys think. Now back to the point. Don't waste God's time. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, was buried, and rose again. We, as Christians that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38, are the ones that are in the know. So, we sit there, and our job is to inform Israel and the world of the true identity of Jesus Christ. That is our job. But most of Israel is oblivious to the true identity of Jesus Christ. They're hanging out, if they do hang out in any type of church, with the fake Jesus. And they, well, when you sit there and you tell them who the real one is, chances are they're not going to believe you, but that's their problem. But wasting God's time, and I'm talking on a national level here, Israel as a whole, nation's level. The guy, Jesus Christ, the man, the king, took all the blame, everything, and paid the price. So that way, we can have his political system back in our lives, in our children's lives, in our grandparents' lives. And we as a nation, as we talked a few weeks ago, earlier in July, are a nation, the New Jerusalem, that Public Law 97-28, we admit that our system is based, the foundation of our political system is based on the Bible, which also is a political system. Because of the actions of our forefathers, I have been able to live in a great nation, in much comfort, much blessing. The only time I ever missed a meal was because I chose to, or when I was just getting out on my own as a young guy. Didn't know enough to hardly even take care of myself. But our blessings come from this book that we teach out of every week, this Bible. We should not waste his time you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. And I understand that this is on a personal level and on a national level, because I look at everything both ways. They're interchangeable, because if the churches were teaching properly, like, we're a body. We are singular. We are. And if a nation has all got the political system squared away in their minds, we would be singular. So this nation that gave all the credit of our existence and blessings and liberty to the Bible, because of the Bible, because of the instruction, and we claim that we drew our strength because of its teachings, and we applied its teachings in our lives, in our communities, in our Declaration of Independence, and our Constitution, then this singular statement applies to our nation. Verse 30. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. So what exactly is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I've pondered this much. And some say it's insult. I think it is wasting God's time, wasting God's effort, wasting his sacrifice. That's what I think it is. And when we are baptized, what are we given? The gift of the Holy Spirit. We are to conduct ourselves in a manner that we are to conduct ourselves in a way that is above everybody else. A holy way. A just way. Do not waste God's time. This even kind of makes me nervous. When God's there and he works and he strives and he sits there and he tries to, and he's patient and he hopes that she gets it right. Hopes he's obedient. Hopes that she's the only one that he loves. Sooner or later, done. And I'm talking like in a national. He's going to let her go. And the thing of it is about Israelite people, they have a really good ability to build up great and prosperous nations. That way everybody can have an easy life, and it tanks. And they build it up again, and it tanks. And they build it up again, and it tanks. Why? Because they waste God's time, and they turn to other gods. Now, I maybe might be in my assessment of this, and I'm all ears to hear what people think about it. But I think this insult is wasting his time, wasting his sacrifice, wasting his identity. That's what I think we're talking about here. When we don't play by his rules. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Start out in verse 26. For if we sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversary. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and insulted the Spirit of grace? That's why I think it's wasting his time. That's why I think it's not respecting him. Because what is he? He's the law that became flesh. He's what the prophet said. He's the story. Is it said in that song? Let her sin if it makes her feel better. Let her go. And you just can't, like, it just says there, it ain't coming back. We as Christians, no, I'm not saying that I have everything right, because it actually still this kind of stuff makes me nervous. But when we sit there and we look at the lack of caring, the lack of knowledge that our nation has as far as who Jesus is, the influence, because he is the word, the Bible that became flesh, like your Bible, it's Jesus. As it says in John chapter 1, people don't recognize his influence on the reason why our nation is the way it is and is going the way it's going. Let's not waste this time. Let's be respectful of his sacrifice. If we have sin in our life, get it out. You know, there's sins that we can be forgiven of. I understand that. But Israel has a bad habit of just being so lackadaisical about this system that God gave them. You know, it's our job to promote it across the world, to bless all the nations, all the tribes of the earth, as it says in Genesis chapter 12. That's our job. We're to be a blessing. Why? Because we have his system. And it's in most every house across the United States. How is this system working for us right now? It's working exactly how it's supposed to. Again, because of the lack of applying its principles. And we better turn it around and humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. Here on this ministry, in our homes, and as a nation. Because if we don't, we will be let go and never come back. And with that, that's all I have for you guys this morning. For those of you that are here, may bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Zach. Thank you. Agreed. Don't waste God's time. There's only so much of it. There is. We gather now for communion. We've passed out our communion here. I have mine here. We hope you have yours. We have reprinted Pastor Peter's book on communion. So if you have any questions, concerns, thoughts, what about this? What about that? The who, what, why, when, and where about communion. Just ask for Pastor Peter's book on communion. We'd be glad to send it to you. There's a good bit to it. There is. And the more you look, the more... Pastor even has a, I think, a three-part CD message. There's more to communion. And we'd be glad to. We have those CDs available. I want to read in 1 Corinthians. It's the standby, you might say, but it's rock solid, where Jesus, he says that this blood that he is going to shed and this his body that he's going to give, we are to partake of that. And we do that in communion. Let's read. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death comes. And so we do that. We proclaim his death, yes. We also remember his burial and his resurrection, that he overcame death. Verse 27, for eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. This is the being the doer of the word that we are to be. Not the hearer only. Oh yes, Jesus gave his life. Do what he said to do. He said, you are my friends, you are my disciples if you do what I tell you to do. It's as simple as that. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. We are to judge, and we are to judge rightly. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we remember the sacrifice that you made. That, Lord, the word says for the joy set before you, Lord, because you saw this day. You saw this day and every day before and every day to come. There would be those that turn from the wickedness of the world, that embrace your word and that do their best to be doers of the word, and that are back in relationship with God the Father. And so it was for that salvation that you grant to us, to them who went to that cross, that you took our sins and our sicknesses and that you overcame them. And we thank you for that. We do judge ourselves, Lord. Help us to judge ourselves rightly, Lord. Looking in, seeing where we fall short, seeking the gift and the help of the Holy Spirit to stay on the straight and narrow and to bird. Representatives of you and your will and your way. As we partake, we claim all the benefits and promises that come with this. Strengthen us. Abide in us, Lord, and have us abide in you. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.